This is Dodgeball, presented by Ben Kearns. Dodgeball had come a long way from its humble beginnings as an alibi for child murder. It had spread throughout the nation through word of mouth and through the expansion of the United States. In 1836, a missionary named Dr. Marcus Whitman traveled west to bring Christianity and dodgeball to the Native Americans.
9 years later, they killed him and burned down his house.
In 1848, the first known all-woman game of dodgeball took place prior to the Seneca Falls Convention for Women's Voting Rights.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton broke three noses that day.
As the 1800s grew to a close, activists of the so-called temperance movement sought to rid the world of social evils. Those evils were alcohol and dodgeball. Even school textbooks were filled with anti-dodgeball propaganda.
It only takes one game of dodgeball to ruin your life. Dodgeball will lead to sexual promiscuity. Young teenage boys who play dodgeball will only end up having constant sexual relations with several women, even three or four at a time. You will be constantly surrounded by ladies of ill repute who will want nothing more than access to your nether regions and precious manly seed. Don't do it!
Geometry textbook, 1894.
The groundswell of support led to the ratification of the 18th Amendment in 1919. A year later, the Roaring Twenties began with the prohibition of drink and dodgeball. Despite the intentions of the temperance movement, they were unable to stop dodgeball. Instead, they drove it underground. That was when many self-described entrepreneurs took the mantle of bootlegging dodgeball games. One such man was George Romulus.
George Romulus was a lawyer from Chicago. He was previously best known for prosecuting the case of the City of Chicago versus Lewis, in which he argued that God's law was absolute over man's law, and that is why women cannot wear denim. Miss Lewis received 30 years of hard labor for her transgression against the Lord.
Romulus saw an opportunity to create underground dodgeball leagues. He would bribe police officers to keep them off his back and blackmail the ones who wouldn't cooperate. But Romulus had one worthy adversary, a woman who was not afraid to get into the gritty details, a woman named Lucretia Minutia.
Lucretia was a very religious woman. She believed that drink led to Satanism and that dodgeball led to bestiality. She created the organization Women Against Dodgeball. Their motto, no more balls in no more faces.
George and Lucretia sparred almost immediately. They would often trade insults in rallies and over radio broadcasts.
Lucretia is an old bitty with the physical attractiveness of a feral pangolin in the midst of sexual ecstasy.
George's bosom is so rotund, he must wear a girdle lest he thwack himself in the face with his own rotund bosom.
While Lucretia had a distaste for all dodgeball, she hated George and would do anything to see him face justice. One day she got a tip that could lead to his underground speakeasy, where the gin was cold and the dodgeball was hot.
She goes to the police and says she has evidence of underground dodgeball. And she wants to make a show of it all. She gets sheriffs, journalists, and fellow members of Women Against Dodgeball to join her raid.
However, the raid proved to be unsuccessful when the police arrived to not see a dodgeball game, but a sweatshop full of immigrant 9-year-olds making leather shoes. The newspapers were less than kind.
Lucretia led them to the doors of what was supposed to be a criminal empire, but instead was a legitimate business full of quality footwear. Keep up the good work, kiddos! Chicago Tribune, 1921.
George mocked Lucretia for her public failure, only to have one of his own. For his speakeasy eventually was raided, and George found himself on the other side of the law. He was charged with making and selling alcohol and propagation of dodgeball, a first-class felony. He was able to use his knowledge of the legal system and his public goodwill to get a light sentence that was later reversed upon the repeal of the 18th Amendment in 1933.
He reminded people about how he put a woman in jail for wearing jeans, and everyone pretty much forgave him.
Next time on Ben Kearns Dodgeball.
He probably would have been accepted to the Vienna Academy of Fine Arts had he just agreed to be on that dodgeball team. But he didn't, and Adolf Hitler was never the same.